Welcome to another episode, or not another episode, first episode of Smoke Signals. So obviously, I just said a second ago, TJ, we're going to see how this goes. This is, you know, a new endeavor under the Natural Thoughts and Talks umbrella. So before we get started and we kind of just give an overview, go ahead and do your intro and we'll get into it, brother.
So excited to be here, Venture. So honored to be in this space with you. Would love to give you my intro. What's going on, everybody? My name is Dr. TJ Reed, or Thomas Reed. You can call me TJ. I believe language and culture are really important, and I believe that language is a key part of culture. So I'd love to share with you my people's language. And it's the Oneida language, which is part of the Haudenosaunee, also known as the people of the Longhouse, or the Six Nations, or the Iroquois. And it'd go something like this. I'd say, Sigoli, Nedi Oliwis, Skanagoga, Skanago, Wugdukta ni Wugitalota, Oniada Aga ni I, Wugwewe ni I, Lugwedio ni Yugyux. Just said in Oneida, greetings, what is the news? Are you with peace? I am with peace. I am Turtle Clan. I am people of the Standing Stone. I am Oneida, and my Oneida name means he is a good man. As I flip back to English, just honored, thrilled, grateful for your leadership. I know where we're about a, I think I'm about a decade older than you in years, but I look up to you so much in terms of your wisdom, your drive, your vision, how when you see things, you envision things in your mind that you create it. And for things like this podcast, that just whoever's listening to this, I'm just sending you good thoughts, good energy, positivity, that you're taking the time and the energy to put our minds together. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I appreciate you for saying that, man. That definitely is a good little pick me up after a well-deserved, tiring day of work, right? And just to kind of sidebar before we get into what I want to get into, man, I've really figured out what my career is. Whenever people ask me what I do, obviously I work in finance. I do 100 different things. Depends on who the client is, right? I fix people's shit all day. That's what I think I might start telling people. That honestly might be what my elevator pitch is, or whatever you want to call it. What do you do every day? I fix people's fucking problems. That's basically what I do, all right? In a short gist, right? But kind of something that I'm realizing as I'm maturing as an entrepreneur and a business owner is kind of growing into myself and maturing into just the value that I provide. You know what I mean? As far as like the expertise and, like you said, the drive and the dedication. Sometimes I don't put that on like the metaphorical brochure, right? Whenever I'm working with people, but I think it might be something that I've been getting a lot of feedback lately. I work hard. Like, I don't really compare myself to anybody or do anything like that, but I'm actively trying to get better every single day at whatever my craft is, right? And I think it really does show when you actually start to kind of lace together the 1, the 5, the 10 years into whatever it is that you're doing. And obviously, I'm not 10 years into my field, but I'm well over a decade into working hard at something, right? Whether it be sports, whether it be whatever. And it's just kind of an interesting thing. Kind of where are you at with that as far as mastering your craft? There's a difference between just showing up and really actively trying to improve every single day.
Well, I love that you pose that question. And I just echo your Mamba mentality, whether it's you as a quarterback, you know, playing sports, or whether it is you quarterbacking people's lives and just fixing their ish, right? Just like helping people get all their stuff together. And like, I've seen you in action. It's incredible. And your motivation and drive in terms of like the 9-to-5 workday, or like the 24 hours, I think that a lot of people play by. I think that you play by your own rules, and that you play by like what you push yourself to, like what you can push yourself to. And like, yeah, someone else maybe do something else. And I love that about you so much, Venture, that you're able to just like, yeah, your drive and determination should be front and center on your brochure because I don't think you're saying too much when you're saying that, like that when you put your mind to something, you put your mind to something. And that idea of, oh, go ahead. I'll jump into my second part after you.
Something that I've been living by for a long time is a quote when I think I was in high school when I saw this, that was like, if you want to be able, and it's not all about money, right? But if you're talking about your job, your career, whatever it is, if you want to walk into a store, or if you want to go shopping, right, and not look at the price tag, you have to work without looking at the clock, right? And that was something that I remember when it hit me, I was like, yeah, that's pretty logical. That doesn't sound like anything that's out of the ordinary, right? It seems like Fair. I think that's what I that when I read that, I was like, yeah, that seems fair. You know, if you want to go into the buy the newest pickup truck on the lot, guess what? You can't be the guy that is the first to leave the office, right? Or you got to get those extra time in to really get ahead. And yeah, is that kind of something that resonates with you?
Oh, so true in terms of that mastering your craft, putting in the work, putting in the time and the effort. We use a sports analogy I love, lacrosse. And for those of our podcast viewers who cannot see this, but I'm holding a traditional wooden hickory lacrosse stick. My great grandpa used to make lacrosse sticks as well too. And for someone who's played all my life growing up, I plan to be buried with my wooden lacrosse stick someday, as I'm still playing on the other side someday with my ancestors. And it's very spiritual for me. Every time I play it here, there's a game being played in the spirit world. But it wasn't necessarily I wasn't necessarily good at it when I first started. Like, right, I, it wasn't. I had a passion for it. I wanted to play it, but in terms of like just putting in the hours, like they always talk about wall ball for lacrosse, where it's just you going up against a wall or a rebounder and just practicing again, like kind of yeah, like 30 minutes, yeah, an hour. But if you want to be really good, it's just like yeah, you put it in as much time as you need be, like to improve yourself. And as a younger person, I'd kind of try to find some wall that was kind of bumpy and throw one ball and lose my ball for like half an hour later and be like, okay, like. After looking for the ball for like half an hour, but oh yeah, I practiced for a while. I guess I'm good. And like, why am I not getting better? Why is everyone else around me getting better? And it wasn't until like college when I was just like, oh, like just I really used it as an outlet. I was dealing with a lot of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, mostly kind of depression and anxiety I was dealing with. And I found lacrosse as an outlet just to be like, whatever was going on, I could still find the spirit game and like just put in hours. And then I started to see results like on the field of like in terms of like things I was never able to do in high school. I was like helping really lead the team for like my college team at Pepperdine and like. And I was just seeing like, oh wow, like okay. And then with school the same way. Like I hated school adventure. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I almost had to redo my junior and senior year of high school. I dropped out of college twice. It was my third time around. I finally finished. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, I'm gonna treat school like I do lacrosse. Like I may not get it the first time. Like I'm looking around the classroom and everyone else is shaking their heads yes. And I'm like looking around, like I don't wanna ask. I used to not want to ask questions. I was like, I don't want to look stupid right now, so I don't want to raise my hand, but I have no idea what that means, what they're talking about. But I guess I'm gonna go with it until just fake it till I make it, I guess. But I would miss out on so much. It wasn't until I was like, I'm gonna treat it like lacrosse. Like I'm gonna do the reading and maybe I'll read the paragraph and be like, what the heck did I just read? Like, and maybe I'll have to try read it again. And maybe I'll have to read it again and again until I get it. And like maybe it'll take me longer than my person next to me, but that's not really what it's about. Like as long as like I take the time to do it and master my craft or go ahead. Or you get your do your thing. And yeah, even just like as a teacher now, as an educator, someone who's an assistant professor here at Cal State Long Beach and an adjunct faculty of Vermont Law School. I'm just always trying to get better. Like I'm someone now, I'm studying for the LSAT right now because I'm trying to pursue an online hybrid JD program as well because I want to be, I don't like being at a plateau venture. I hate like when I'm like, I feel like I'm like, I've gotten to where I'm at. I'm like either coasting or just like, it's just, there's something so wrong to me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, when it feels like I've reached the finish line or like I've reached like, I have to be striving for more. And I'm happy with where I'm at. And I love and I'm grateful for everything I have. And I have my fire burns so strong for like when I hear about things that go on in the world that feels like, well, that's just how it is. I'm like, but why? Like, I think we can do different. I think we could do it differently. Like, I see it differently. I have like, I envision like you, how you envision things. Like, I envision a world better than like this one, only better. And like, I want to help bring that to people. So maybe I change the world or die trying, but I'd rather die trying than like just sit back and be like, oh, well, that's just how it is. So, but I love that mastering the craft is everything.
You know what's funny is you can tell this is a different show and this isn't Natural Thoughts and Talks right now because I have my shoes on. And in the past 100 or 200 episodes or so, I haven't been wearing shoes while I recorded because I just wiggled my toes and I was like, what the hell's wrong with my feet right now? Because, you know, usually I'm in the same zone. It's kind of weird, huh? I
Yeah,
just threw that out there, though.
the head space and feet space, you know, that's what I say. Walk a mile in someone's shoes, walk a mile in someone's moccasins, as they once upon one has said. But yeah, just
Right.
that's a different feel.
Here's what I'm feeling right now that I can relate to. I've recently realized that I am always raising the bar. And because I'm doing that, I think we might have talked about this on a phone call earlier, right? Is because you're always raising the bar, sometimes it feels like you're not making progress.
Yes.
And recently, I was just in. Do you have any extra lacrosse sticks at your property, at your house?
Oh, for you to borrow, of course.
I
Or to
was
throw around with,
just.
or
Yeah,
yes.
I was just. I'm gonna pick one up. I'll be in Rancho, you know, in about a week or two. But I was just cruising through. It was late. It was 2 in the morning when I was cruising through, so I wasn't gonna pop in on you like that. That'd be crazy. But we'll set up some time here in the future. But I got to see. I popped in on my coach, right? I had kind of like little memory lane day, right? Where we went down to Long
Mm.
Beach, saw school campus, things like that. Hey, popped into Cerritos, right? Things like that, junior college. And it was funny because my old coach and mentor, shout out to Christopher Richardson, right? Greatest guy ever. He had some younger guys, right? And it's such a cool thing that he does as a coach and a mentor because he's always just like you. You're always having new students that come in, right? And then over the course of 10, 15, 20 years that you've been doing this, you've seen so much, right? And it's a cool place to be in and watch and help develop at such a critical stage in people's lives. But it's funny because I was like, holy shit, it's been like 5 or 6 years. It's been several years since I was doing exactly what these kids are doing. They're touching a lacrosse stick, they're touching a javelin or whatever. They don't know what the hell they're doing, right? So it's their first decathlon competition today, actually, the Mount Sac one. And then it's a 2-day event where they're gonna go crazy, but it's just so funny seeing kids who are like about to go to war, right? And you're like, oh, you don't even know what you're signed up for right now. Like, well, I hope it works out, right? And of these three or four kids that are doing it, I hope one or two of them sticks with it, right? Because naturally, it's such a hard event. Someone's got an ankle issue, or somebody's back is gonna, you know what I mean? There's always that. But you get three or four guys, one of them is gonna be the guy who really says, I wanna run that mile at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I really wanna go out there and give it my all. And, it's just funny, but I'm always raising my bar, and I was able to see, like, holy shit, I've made so much progress that I just haven't even been giving myself credit for. I just haven't even, you know what my biggest dream was a couple years ago? I wanted a Belgian Malinois. That's what I wanted. I wanted a cool dog, and that's what I was thinking about when I was in those kids' shoes. And fuck, now I'm stuck with this guy Kino for the next 10 years, right? But like things like that, little things that I never think about, right? To where you're like, oh man, I wanted to be doing the career that I'm doing exactly right now that I wake up every single day. Yeah, I got to clean people's shit up, like I said at the beginning, but that's what I signed up for. That's exactly what I did in the athletic world. That's what I did in, relationships around friendships. I help people when they need help, right? And why not get paid for it, right?
That's some knowledge and wisdom, man. That's touches my spirit and pulls my heartstrings. Definitely, I'm on the verge of like bawling tears. Of just like, man, like I've just been going, going, going. I'm just like, oh man, like when I think about a younger TJ who was like dropping out of college for the first time, and like one of the reasons was I had this like directive independent studies course about American Indian studies. I can't remember if I've told you this story before, but the teacher was saying, we were talking about what happened to Native peoples. I was like, you know what happened to Native peoples? It feels like genocide. And I was going to keep talking, and he cuts me off. He's like, well, I'm going to stop you there. But, that word didn't exist back then, so you can't use that to describe what happened. And I said, well, I said, a rose by any other name is a rose. Like, that's what happened with what happened. Like, that's what happened. He's like, I think we need to stop here and put a pause on this. You're getting too emotional about this. Let's try to come back to this later. And I was just walking out of there fuming as a young teenager, just feeling so helpless, just feeling like, what the heck? Like, I know that's not to be true, but I feel so disempowered. I feel like this just can't be it. Like, there has to be more. And like, I guess it wasn't even in my wildest fantasy at the time that someday I would be a professor teaching people about things, like in a position for college credit, like for to do these things. Like, that was like, I don't even know at the time if that had crossed my mind to be like, I think maybe it was like, well, someday maybe like I'll be able to teach about that and talk about that, like how I feel, like how I see it as it is, and say the facts and like just call it what it is. And but it definitely brings me to tears. It's like you were saying, sometimes it's tough. Like, sometimes you get like either pushback or just like trying to engage students or trying to make sure like you're connecting with every student, every student's learning style, or like and meeting every student's questions and ideas, and like feeling like, how am I doing justice to this topic? And at the end of the day, like you're saying, this is what I signed up for. This is a dream, this is a like what would I rather be doing? Like, how great, like, did I get to talk about this like for a living? Like, it just makes me want to bawl right now. And I'm just really grateful for you naming that, because you got a lot of wisdom and spirit to your adventure. So I know our words are medicine. We come together, we can like say things and lift each other up. And I'm just even like reading your body language, your smile, just like you coming in just like a day, right? You had put in a day here, and just like how we're able to like to bounce our energies off, bounce our ideas off, and just like lift one another up, right? Like iron sharpens iron. Like, our fire is like two fires right here, just like that we become like roaring fires without losing any of our own flame. And just appreciate you a lot, and you naming that. That's a good reflection, that memory lane day adventure.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny because it didn't have a word. We don't know what to call it. Yeah, that's like saying that the moon didn't exist until somebody landed on it because we weren't there. Like, what happened? Okay, all right. So somebody just created it, right? But yeah, we won't go down that rabbit hole, right? We'll just save that
Fair.
for another time. Hey, I watched a lacrosse game since we last
Let's
spoke.
go.
Yeah.
Who, where and when? Tell me about it.
I was taking Kino up to the top park up here, in Inspirada over in Vegas, and our field that we always go to for frisbees and bite work, all his active stuff, was just overrun by high school and I think college kids. There was a tournament going on, like a lacrosse tournament, and I was like, sweet, let's see what's going on. So we sit here and we start watching, yada yada yada, and I wish I would have played. You know what I mean? That game, as I'm seeing it, and here's why I wish I would have played. I think I would have been an animal at lacrosse, TJ.
Sure.
Like,
I think it's still not too late for you. Like, you're such an athlete in terms of even like men's leagues, or there's like things called ULACs where it's like people who played in college or after. Like, you have that ability of like, yes, like for sure the years and the time. I wish you would have played too in terms of like just your precision in terms of all the sports you've done and as an athlete, and like just you would dominate.
So let's say if we take it a step back, during like a high school year, what season? When what months was it? Was it a fall sport, a winter sport, or a spring sport?
Spring sport is lacrosse for in the United States for our boys' high school and girls' high school.
Okay, so I could have ran track and played lacrosse at the same time. I would have showed up to the games, obviously, and practiced here and there, but yeah, I could have made it, as long as it wasn't during football season or, the other winter, because it's cold. I'm not going to be outside during the winter. But yeah, that could have worked. I wish someone would have, made a bigger push, because the level of, I didn't realize that the sport got as aggressive as it did.
Oh yeah.
And if we're being honest, I saw a lot of kind of preppy white kids out there that
Yeah. Oh
really,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, the way that I was looking at it now, tactically, on the game that I saw, which I think is a good representation of like the playing field, I saw, six teams, they were all playing kind of at one. Can you just have three big boys and really just crash the goal until somebody can stop it? Is that a philosophy? Because I'm saying, okay, if we get three ventures out there that are just really aggressive, we just grab this stick and I'm just going to ram it up your ass until you can stop it. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe not the most technical thing to do, but that's what I would do if someone gave me a stick and was like, we got to put it in here. Let's just Shaquille O'Neal it in the paint and see what happens. What do you think?
Oh yeah, and you're talking for, I mean, like, talking offensively, defensively, in terms of packing them like that, both
Offensively,
offense. I mean,
offensively.
yeah, I mean, there's this guy. So there's different versions of sixes, and there's this one called Asher Nolting. He plays in this the Premier Lacrosse League for what's called sixes, and it's like a similar format to what you watch for field lacrosse, but it's like a it's 5v5, so it's kind of like basketball. It's a style that the Olympics will be, what style the Olympics will be played in. This guy named Asher Nolting, he's just like a big dude, yeah, just tanks it in there, right? It's not always the prettiest play, not always well, but he'll just get through everybody, just score, and it's like, yeah. There's another guy named Miles Jones, who's huge. He's probably like 6'4", and he's probably, I don't know if he's like 250, 275 or something, mostly like muscle and stuff too. Black athlete, incredible, and he just dominates. And this guy, like you're saying, it's like predominantly it's like smaller, like European American white dudes, and it's like this guy just like boom, just going full Shaq mode, hitting with the two small celebrations and stuff too. And like
Oh, that's
it's like,
hilarious.
I mean, yeah, like it definitely, like, that's the beauty of the game. It's like your natural instinct, like your intuition, to want to be like, yeah, like let's just do it that way, like then do it, like that's your gift that you've been given with the game. And like all of us, like some people are like smaller and quicker, some people are just like big and like Shaquille O'Neal dominate, whether it's like offensively or defensively. And like, yeah, it's they definitely can body you back too, but like you have the stick skills and you can get through, or like just every team's different, right? Whether it's like bodying, or whether it's just like, smaller guys just passing the ball around, like just trying to move the ball quick. As they say, the ball is always faster than your feet. But I mean, yeah, you could dominate. You could still get out there. I don't think it's too late for your venture if you're down to hoop sometime. I think we could still get find a game for you still to dominate, and a battlefield for you to go to work on.
And my biggest thing was just like, oh, I just need time with the stick
Yeah.
to I need to throw it, and I need good, hand. I just need that extension. That stick needs to become an extension of me. And luckily, I'm playing fetch every day. That's why I need to grab a stick and really get it down. I have a retriever. He'll go get the ball every single time. So just, I think putting in a few hours and being like, okay, this seems like fun. Wouldn't be out of the realm of something that I'd like to get out there and try, at some point.
I love that. I'm heavily for it, and definitely we'll make sure we get you a stick in your hands to use. And yeah, let's get after it. I'm down, Venture.
So, smoke signals. This is kind of
Yes.
where we're gonna go. Is my goal is to keep it as authentic as possible and not curate something that is like National Geographic, like we talked about, right? We're already doing this show. This is already what it is, right? And kind of one of the cool parts and perspectives that I want to take is I rewatched 1923. Did you ever get into any of like the Yellowstone or the Taylor Sheridan world at all?
I'm familiar with and the references, seen clips and excerpts. No, haven't like gone like start to finish in episodes, but somewhat, but familiar with the reference of the 1923 show.
Yeah, so here's what I would do is I would skip Yellowstone and 1883 because 1923 has done an amazing job of leading. There's a lot of leading women throughout it, and it's told from the perspective of the boarding schools as well, too. So they have the boarding schools in there. It's one of the few
Wow.
things that I've seen on mainstream media that's ever even talked about it, right? So it's one of those things where as I think back to like my Uncle Sonny, right, and other people like that who did experience the boarding schools. And like, it's almost like, how did we get here, right? And it wasn't so long ago that I know a human being who he passed away a couple months ago, right? But I grew up with somebody who attended an institution like that. And it's just so crazy that in the show, obviously, they don't really hold back. Like they show the nuns just sexually abusing them and killing people and just obviously going and just taking kids out and ripping them from their homes and just, spreading their version of whatever they feel is success. And I just kind of wanted you to talk about it a little bit. I know we talked a few episodes on the other show, but just your grandfather's experience, right, over at Carlisle. And let's just talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, shout out to your relative that, wow, I've been a survivor of boarding school and you being descendant of, and just had their, rest in peace in the sky world, spirit world for your relative there who just passed on for us and their legacy. Shout out to 1923, not holding back. I definitely will be watching and look. I'm always looking for different pieces of mediums that show and educate, particularly around the boarding schools. Like I'll have students ask about it, and many people are like, that just sounds so crazy. I can't even, like, can't even believe that. Can't even fathom that. Like, what do you mean? Like, why have I not learned about this? And so, yeah, definitely. I'll talk a little bit about my family's experience. So, I was my great grandfather, Anderson William Cornelius, who was forced to attend Carlisle Indian Boarding School, which was in Pennsylvania, was the archetype for which we now know is over 520 Indian boarding schools in the US, over 150 Indian residential schools in Canada. I believe the timing is like 1869 or so, when the first one kind of opens up. And certainly, my great grandfather was taken from his home, and there's different depictions of like my cousins when they made books about it, and they would talk about like how the kids would they would practice kind of hiding when agents came by, they'd hide underneath the beds. It reminded me kind of reminiscent of like Inglourious Basterds with like the like hiding people like the like Jewish people and other like underneath the floorboards and stuff. Like the same practice of like hiding our kids and stuff so they don't know we have kids, and if they find them, then they take them, and then if the parents resisted, they would arrest the parents. I'm showing some documents. I shared some stuff on social media, and some of my relatives are like, "Well, that's so weird that like it was supposed to be signed by like my great great grandmother." It's like because she didn't even speak English. Like, how is she supposed to write like her like signature in cursive? Like, that's not her signature. So I was like, "Whoa!" Just like seeing different things. So, but they take his older brother as well too. His name's Joshua Cornelius. They make the records to Carlisle public records, but it's wild because like Anderson's file is public. He ran away twice. Caught the first time, and the idea was there was Bureau of Indian Affairs agents that would last like lasso kids up and bring them back like bounty hunters back to the school and get paid for that as well too. The second time it's, he goes for a 4th of July outing with the school, and he runs away that time. He survives. He gets from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, all the way to Oneida, Wisconsin, which is super far. It's a, if you look at it on a map, it's not, that's not close, and he's just surviving, right, as a young person. So his older brother Joshua Cornelius, his files, it's, you can find a lot of Anderson's files like carlisledickinson.edu, like this website. But Joshua's like has the, his info, but not a whole lot of other information about him. And he was killed at the school, so he was one of those people who like never came home, like you were saying, that was abused, literally killed. Where at Carlisle, there was 180 tombstones for the known children, 13 for the unknown children. So they were so massacred, so bad, you couldn't even tell. And I've learned as well that those numbers are much lower than the actual death numbers, because if they knew someone was going to die, and they would send them back into their communities to die there, so their numbers would be lower. But every school by design has a cemetery built on them. You wonder, why would you need a cemetery at your school? And we have stories. In my family, I'd hear a story my great grandfather would talk about like you were talking about, the sexual abuse from the priests or others who run the school, if they impregnated the girls, right, that they would take the babies if they're born, and burn the babies alive, right? Called
Oh, man.
infanticide, we call that. Gnarly ass stuff, right? Super, super gnarly. And I couldn't, I remember telling some of my family members, people were like, I don't know, like that's so gnarly. I don't know, like I don't even know if that's like, are we sure that's true? You don't know that's true? I'm like, that's like really heavy. And then my relatives would be like, no, like great grandpa talked about how he would hear the screams of the babies, he would see their bones in the furnaces after, so he like saw it. And I was like, that's pretty gnarly. Just recently the Sugarcane documentary came out and it's like hit some like different like film festivals and things, and it's like won a bunch of awards. And one of the things it talks about in there is the infanticide, is the exact thing of like of priests getting people pregnant, burning the babies when they're alive, and like seeing the bones in this furnace. And it's like fucked up shit, right? Like the things we talk about, sexual abuse was like, I've seen as low, the low numbers for like on the conservative side was 90% of all boys and girls were sexually abused. On the high side, it was 100% of students across the schools and things. So like just fucked up shit and like really heavy to talk about. And like when you look at the National Healing and Truth Commission, you watch people talk about their stories. I mean, it's like they're reliving it again. Like even me telling it's like like my body's shaking and stuff, even just talking about it. And I do this as a profession, right, to talk about this. And I try to but at the same time, like to apologize for my emotions is to apologize for the truth. Like that being said, one of the things I learned about is like these communications, like having community like this, we call them talking circles or community peacemaking or restorative justice or really restorative ways of being is what my cousin taught me. Restorative ways of being. And we would have circles to talk about this, like things that are really messed up is like, for instance, I'm what's called a third generation survivor of Indian boarding schools. Like I didn't go there, my mom didn't go there, my grandma did not go there, but her dad did. And because like it was not oftentimes the people who went through school who took their own lives, but it's like you're much more statistically have a higher chance of taking your life if you're one of the descendants of, as you're living with this inherited PTSD that most people have no idea about. Many people will deny. Like I've tried to share it in different places, and people will be like, I don't know, never heard of that. Not true. It's like, oh, it is true. And in 2022, we Sharice David for the House of Representatives put forth a bill that wanted to talk about like a similar truth and healing commission about the boarding schools to start examining these campuses and like looking for bodies and talking about healing. Elizabeth Warren in Senate in 2022 proposed it soon after, and as of February 2025, those bills are still sitting there. They haven't gotten passed. Like we haven't moved forward those, and so it's like, what do we do with that? But I do know that like that talking about fixing a problem, the first step of fixing a problem is admitting there is a problem or there was a problem. And I think that it's a we do a lot more justice. I remember like one time, like I was teaching to a law school student, and I wasn't really feeling at the time, like wanting to relive all these gnarly things. So I kind of gave them a version of it, but they kind of prying for more. Well, what about this? What about this? So I tell them all the gruesome details like I told you now. They're like, you know, someone's like, Dr. Reed, TJ, I just want to let you know, like, if you don't give all the full details of the story, like you're not doing justice to what those people have gone through. Like you're watering it down their experiences, like you're watering down the truth, like to really acknowledge like what those people have gone through, to honor those people. It's like we need to like examine like everything that happened. We need to examine like all the fucked up shit that happened. I'm like, yeah, we do. Like there's a lot to be said about that. There's a lot to be said about that. And
Yeah,
I just, yeah.
just like nobody can see their full potential unless they actually see somebody actually, I mean, like athletically, right? You don't
Yeah.
know you can dunk a basketball unless you see somebody really leave the ground and dunk a basketball, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I guess this is a part of the game, right? So thank you for sharing that, obviously. And it was a good little recap. But here's kind of where I'm at. And the reason why I wanted you to set the scene with that is because it trickles down into everybody's body. And you do at some point during your growth, during your maturing, whatever, everybody's journey is different, right? But you have to do the work to kind of grow into the person that you want to be, right? So, for example, the use of force. I didn't choose the use of force, right? I just had an amazing event that I was a part of, fortunately, right? And the host was like, guess what? Your venture's like really chill, right? I've only been chill for the past 9 months, TJ, right? To where if we're realistically right, but I can now I've have enough practice to where I can accept that compliment and really be like, thank you for saying that, because I'm wondering why does she see the way that I operate, and that's how she sees it, right? That's what she says. Okay, this guy Venture is identified as being chill. And I go, oh, I just don't use force. Like I don't yell around anymore. I'm not trying to physically command anything, right? And I go, how did we even get there, right? And I'm so aware now of I'll be sitting in a coffee shop and I'll see like a young mother and maybe a 3 or 4 year old, and she has to like use force or yell at him to, maybe redirect or recontrol. And I go, man, just a little bit more patience. And that wouldn't be necessary, right? Like I know, and I'm not a parent, I can't judge. I understand it's gotta be stressful, this and that, right? But there's a part of me that goes, I'm not a parent, but I am a really good fucking leader, and I do understand that if we can go through the next 6 months or so or whatever, however it longs to for this little boy to understand that, like, hey, I'm not supposed to slam the door. Instead of spanking him, instead of screaming at him, let's try to be a little more positive. Hey, tell him why. We're trying to keep our stuff nice, right? We're trying to do this. Hey, when you do this, let's put some incentives in there, right? Hey, good job. Let's go get some ice cream for doing it the right way, right? And it's just so funny because it does, a lot of it revolves around patience and time. And that's been my biggest thing lately is someone asked me, like, hey, Venture, when do you feel most powerful? A couple years ago, it would have been like, when I'm dominating people. What do you mean? When I'm really killing it. Now I feel most powerful when I'm patient. And I know that, hey, if it's meant to be, I'm going to continue to work my hardest to put myself in that position. But by through patience, through kindness, through love and compassion and empathy, you're actually able to influence those around you and your community in a way that I think helps everybody.
And that's so true. Going inward, hitting the patience button, yeah, reflecting and just having more patience for others and how we do things as opposed to using force and doing that work. I think that's phenomenal. I love that you're feeling that power when you're feeling most patient as well. That's powerful.
And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to kind of touch on this last caveat of it, and then I want to get into some lighter stuff. But excuse me, I've identified what I kind of want to do as far as who I want to be, right? And did I talk to you about when I watched that Mike Tyson video about a good man versus a great man?
We talked about it
So
before, but run it back and remind me again one more time.
yeah, man, I've really actually kind of been living by this is Mike Tyson, I think, heard something from JFK Jr. or something where he goes, in all my travels becoming a celebrity or the champion or whatever, I was able to come across a lot of great men. But of those great men, I didn't meet a lot of good men. Right. And that just goes to say, like, I was chasing greatness at a level of whatever I defined it as. I'll step over anybody. I'll miss my grandmother's funeral. I'll miss my wedding. I'll miss the, birth of my child in the future if it means that I can achieve this level of greatness, whatever that, meaning is. Right. However, he said, if you're a good man, you can turn into a great man. But if you're a great man, that doesn't necessarily make you a good man. And the way that I'm trying to, I think, position my life and the people around me is I'm just trying to be called a good man. Because I walk around a lot and people, oh, that guy Venture, he's great. He's this, he's that. But I really just want to be good. You know what I mean? Which is really weird because there's not a lot of guys with this level of drive and like just hard wiring. Because it sometimes can sound like you're not ambitious. Good luck finding somebody that has the level of ambition. I can't stop it. I literally, it's in my dreams. I wake up and it's like, I wish I could just kind of sit and take a cup of coffee in the morning and not think about what's going on the day. Not think about like, could we get this done? Where could we go? Where it's just how I'm wired, right? So my goal though is to be a good man and hopefully turn into a great man and not skip the first step, right?
I love that. And hearing you saw that, remembering seeing that clip down, hearing Mike talk about that, and hearing you talk about that. And I love that reminder. With my own night name being, he is a good man. I mean, yeah, I think about that every single day. Like, how can I be a good man? Like, what does that mean to be a good man? What does it mean to be thinking? Like, what thoughts should I be thinking right now? Like, as a good man, like, how can I help people as a good man? And yeah, I feel like the most important title I hold out of my different names and things. And I love that notion of you. Wanting to still be a good man and having that ambition for greatness along the way, but to not lose yourself as a good man. And I love that.
Here's what I want to talk about now. Being an urban Indian, and obviously, yeah, we can define that. Somebody lives off the reservation, right? And do you have a better definition for that? Because that's what I know it. Urban Indian,
That's what I
someone
know it
lives,
as.
yeah, in a city, and then you have, rural Indian people on a reservation or out in the country, right? So that's obviously what I've learned my entire childhood. I feel so fortunate. I feel a little bit more grounded as far as like I didn't have to travel far to find what I was looking for, as far as from like a spirituality standpoint. I think that's a really big benefit that we have. Have you found yourself in a similar boat as far as that journey? Like it was just, you just had to talk to relatives. You know what I mean? Like it's almost, because I know a couple people that have really had to, man, I had to fly all the way to India, right? Or I had to go into some Buddhist temple here and do that. And there's some pretty aggressive steps that had to go into it due to the history of this country, due to, the breaking up of families and cultures and just everything that's going on. I feel so fortunate to not have to travel far to kind of find at least maybe the starting point of my journey. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, definitely. I'm being an urban native, someone who grew around a lot of different places, and my grandma's house, being an elder in our tribe, she was always just like my home base, and just like so grateful for that knowledge. And she had like moved off the reservation when she was like 18 or so to like take care of another relative and live in the Pacific Northwest for a while. But anyway, I was like 19 or so, and I had the chance like to travel not too far, but yeah, to Oneida, Wisconsin. I was like, whoa, like this is just like having all these relatives, all these people, being at powwows, seeing lacrosse be done in a spiritual way, not just, I thought this was just like a rich elite sport. Like, I didn't know this was like this is part of our creation story. This is like a prayer. Like, this is like, whoa, like, I didn't know that. So just like that, just so grateful for that, like for being like that. It's like not too far in terms of like being able to touch back to that place on the reservation. And then also just yeah, being an urban native, just like with my family and my grandma and I just in life, just all the things that you're able to experience and see and be. And yeah, I'm definitely grateful for all those elders and be able to touch into that wealth of knowledge, like that stream of knowledge.
And something that like I'm finding within myself is there's almost this rhythm, this almost this, I don't know if it's a vibration or whatever it is, but I've been seeing it and it's been making me feel a lot more comfortable just within whatever it is that I'm doing. If I'm stressed out or whatever's going on, like there is a natural sort of like, the ants don't know that the ants are part of a colony, right? And then they don't know that these other colony, they're it's kind of just in you, right? And being connected, kind of the way that I found myself thinking about it yesterday, man. Do you know that wolves are the only animal in North America that actually hunt together in packs, right? And I've kind of known that, but I've never really taken a deep dive into it, right? As far as like the hierarchy, because they're doing a lot. I don't know if you know this, but they just introduced a crazy amount of Canadian wolves into Colorado, and it's like wreaking havoc on the farmers over there because they're just killing livestock left and right. And it's one of those things where, yeah, there's conservation, there's just ways to do it in a way, though, that isn't just like, cool, they're here, they're free, right? And then you're like, there's some other factors. There's more data we have to look at here for a second, because I don't think you understand what a wolf is. Like, you don't understand, it's the best of the best. It's the apex of teamwork of whatever it is. There's nothing that's gonna survive. You could put them anywhere on the planet and they're just gonna wreak havoc and accomplish their goal. You can't catch them. They're better than you at traversing whatever it is that you're chasing them in. And that's kind of the mentality, though, that I've kind of seen myself in, is there's been a long time where I've thought I had to do things on my own, right? And maybe the hard way, or like, this is the way to do it. But once you kind of can find your little pack or your little unit, right? And kind of work together, and everybody is having the same sort of understanding and accomplishing the mission or the goal, things work out way faster together than they ever could on your own, right?
The truth. That's the truth. I definitely see that. And even as urban natives, like I've seen like Los Angeles County is ranked as low as number three and as high as number one most densely populated native counties in the United States. So there's like people who are there. And it's like once I was like a graduate student at 24 at Cal State Long Beach in American Indian Studies, and I was like, oh, it is like this like life, you start seeing all these people. It's like, oh, this has been like this community, this pack of wolves like right here. Like I didn't like, and it's just like when you see that inner tribal connection or people from your own community or your own tribal nation, and it's really cool. I like that strength. The strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. And indeed, like just that. I like that a lot. Just that mindset, and definitely don't have to do it alone. There's a message of the peacemaker for the Haudenosaunee when they were coming together after five once warring tribes: Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, Seneca. The peacemaker says, "Give me one of your arrows." He gives me one arrow, breaks it easily. Okay, now each of you leaders, give me an arrow. Has five arrows together. He says, "See this? Together we cannot be broken. Together we are stronger together. That is our strength." And a quick caveat, if you ever see the US $1 bill, the back of it, there's an eagle holding 13 arrows in its talon. That's a shout out from like the Haudenosaunee influencing the United States. Their Haudenosaunee leaders that were like, you know, you all would be a lot stronger. 13 colonies, if you came together as one, like you all would be a lot stronger as well.
That's
That
awesome. I
being
didn't
said,
know that.
yeah, strength in numbers goes back to your story. Like that you're a lot stronger together than you are by yourself.
And here's the weird part is I might have came to this conclusion a little bit backwards. Go lay down, handsome. You're good. We'll get some, go away. Get away from my stuff. You're gonna break something. Just wrecking havoc like a wolf, like we just said.
Like a wolf.
I'll open up for a second. I wish I could say that I got here on like some cool ride in that was really majestic. I work in money, right? And I get to see behind the curtain on a lot of different things, right? It's a cool little perk of what I do. It could be anybody that works as like a carpenter or somebody who's a lawyer, yada, 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 whatever their political affiliation is, whatever their cultural background, if they're old, young, fat, small. Everybody does touch a dollar at some point in time, right? So that's kind of something, whether you love it or hate it, it is a truth. And once I kind of started to see that, I go, oh, I want to connect with humans. Like, that's what I want to do. I don't really care what your, affiliation is or whatever's going on. Are you a good person? Are you trying to, let's say, if we're Americans, whatever, oh, who'd you vote for? Who'd you do this? Do you love this country? You like being here? All right. We vibe. It's all good. I don't have to sit here and debate, oh, this guy's driving a pickup truck, but this guy's got a Benz. We know who the MAGA or whatever. It's like, no, man, you like being here? Cool. Let's go get something to eat, right? Like, let's go enjoy this entire weird melting pot that we have because that's the beauty of it. Let's enjoy it. Don't limit yourself to half on one side or half the other, right? And that's just, I've always kind of operated that way, but through kind of my career and, the businesses that I'm building, it's more apparent there than ever because it's a hard thing, TJ, when people go, oh, yeah, venture, like, what's your niche? And I'm like, I don't just work with professors in the Cal State system. There's people who do that. There's experts that, like, that's what they do. Their entire day from sun up to sundown is working in that department or niche, right? And I go, I don't know. I like a lot of things. I could do the fitness world. You want to talk about fitness? Okay. You want to talk about dogs? I know about that. You want to talk about houses? Cool. I like construction. Like, it's very hard because if you have a heavyweight fighter, you can go into any weight class, like, and compete, right? You can't take a small flyweight and have them fight some big dog out there. That's not going to work out well, right? But that's kind of how I see myself, is just happy everywhere, right? And just trying to kind of use those same principles because those principles are apparent everywhere, right?
Absolutely. I love that connection with people. I think a silly line from the show The Office back in the day, Michael Scott saying, like we were in the business of paper, but we're the business of people, and people will never go out of business. All right, so I love that as well too. And it's a good takeaway as well. It's I love the human connection.
What I want to talk about a little bit is going to be just because you're obviously an expert in education and that's your world that you're trying to help a lot of people with, and you obviously have. I had a breakthrough that I never had when I was in school, which is I failed one of my licensing exams, right? About a week or two ago, right? Big deal. I spiraled out and I was like, oh, so close, right? And I go, damn, I was close, but if we really look back, what was the standard that I was trying to get to? I was just trying to get a 70. That's all I was trying to do, right? And I got a 68%. It's pretty close to my goal, to be honest with you. If that's what I was studying for, pretty, like, looking back now that it's been a week or two, I've licked my wounds. But I go, I've never attacked anything at 70%. What if I tried to get 100? What if I was actually saying, I'm going to take this test, these practice exam, these modules, I'm going to try to get everything right on it. You know what I mean? Just because that's how I attack my business, that's how I attack life, right? I don't say, hey, let's take the dog out and only do 70% of a walk. I go, no, let's get the whole fucking thing done and be positive and happy as we get it done. And I just thought about that literally on the drive home as I was coming to talk to you, but I was like, I'm really going to make an effort right now. I take the test again on March 11th. When I'm studying now, I'm trying to get everything right. I'm not just trying to average it out and skate by. everything piece of material that they gave me a textbook. I want to get 100%. Now I'm not going to obsess over it to the point of chaos, right? But I every time question that gets put in front of me, every concept, I want to be able to know what's going on. And then we pass the test, cool, I can forget it then, right? But if this is the goal, this is the mission, right? I want to attempt to get every single question right. I want to see nothing but green check marks when I look at the Scantron, right? And that's something that I've never thought about before. And I kind of want you to give me your take on that, and we just kind of see where that takes us.
I mean, that's it's it feels like you're speaking to me directly right now in terms of how I've been preparing for the LSAT, where it's coming up. I'm taking it for the first time in April, and I think I might try to take it again in June as well too.
What's the
But it's the
LSAT?
idea. LSAT is a preparatory test, what you go into for your Juris Doctorate for law school. So it's like this test you have to take. Some people will spend like a good amount of time on it. These different sections: logic reasoning, logic games, reading comprehension, and like a fourth experimental section. 4-hour test. People are like, when you start like really just trying, like been watching like I don't know how many hours worth of YouTube videos and like different things on it, and people talking about like, oh, there's been like 110 tests out so far, and like people are like they've taken like every one, or some people like don't prepare at all, or like just like, so it's like a huge spectrum like in between of what you do, and like the perfect score is 180, right? When it's like, and I think in my mind too, like it's like I've been kind of like, oh, well, this was like, yeah, what do I need to get in, like what's like the lowest number I can get into, like, what I need right here for this thing, like whatever, let's go for that. But hearing you talk about like, no, like that's never been my mindset, like let's do the best we possibly can. And like LSAT basically it's its own beast, it's its own thing, where it's like that won't even necessarily like help prepare you for law school as it is. It's just like, it's just you have to study for this test to pass this test, which is a gauge on how you're standard, how you are against other people who are taking this test. But I'm hearing you speak, I'm like, yeah, like I think in my mind I'm like, yeah, just like, you know, just getting, I don't know, like you just start getting lazy or comfortable, or it's like what can the number be at, just kind of going like lower and lower, like seeing other people like, oh, that person's either got this number, this person's either got like we're at 150, 125, like all right, people are talking about these numbers. But I think in my head I'm like, okay, like let's shoot for the stars, let's go for perfection. If I don't hit that, then at least that's what I was aiming for.
And my thing is, I chose to be here. Like, this was the first time where, okay, cool. Let's say I'm taking TJ's class, or whatever, Cal State Long Beach. I'm really choosing to be there, right? Like, there's another
GE's
system up there.
requirement.
Here I go, hold on now. This is what I want to do. This is a part of my craft, and I'm phoning it in. That doesn't feel good. And here's the thing is, my mind is my mind. I control and dictate what I do. I was only one question off of my goal. I really, so what if my goal though was let me try to get 100? Do you see what I'm saying? Might have been pretty close to 100, right? At least I don't know how other people's lives work, but when I say I'm gonna do something, I fucking do my best to do it and get very close to do it, right? So if I say, hey, I'm gonna get better at holding a lacrosse stick and put some time into it, I'm not saying I'm going to the Olympics or playing a game. I just said I'm gonna grab this lacrosse stick, hopefully have fun enjoying this section of what's going on, right? And yeah, I think I that right there gave me the confidence to go, oh, I thought it was in somebody else's hands, but once it's in my hands and I know, hey, you chose to do this, man. This is the horse that you came in on. This is the one that you picked. Remember, you wanted the black one with the spots. So have at it, my guy, and enjoy it and love it. And same thing, right? I'm in the business of fixing people's shit. That's what I'm doing, right? That's what my personality is. You chose it. Don't get mad when somebody takes a dump on your table and you have to go and scoop it up because that's what you chose to do. And if we're going to be honest, you love it, Venture. Like, you really do love it. And I go, yeah, I do. I love the process of taking something that's raw, refining it, right? And just making it to the quality that I would have it if it was mine, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, depression and anxious throughout your process. You mentioned that earlier on in the episode, and then I want you to touch on that. We might close things out here, but talk to me, man, just because it's such a weird thing that you were not the best student. The only other professors that I know are, like I said, my mother, and she was an amazing academic, right? She
Phenomenal.
just doesn't have an issue that I have, right? But like I said, we all have our own strengths. How did you kind of find yourself into this world? Because you seem to be pretty similar to me, actually, which is like, bro, this shit's kind of hard, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah, well, I love you bringing up the idea of like depression and anxiety, of those different kind of obstacles or things and overcoming those. And that's a whole thing in itself, but definitely just tying into going inward and like healing yourself, loving yourself, and growing one day at a time. and how I've like ended up even like with the learning path where I'm at now. Definitely criminal profession. It was just kind of like just trying to learn, try to open up doors, try to like, well, maybe if I finish my undergraduate, it'll be the last test I ever take, but maybe that will help me after dropping out of college twice and like seeing how much I need a college degree. It's like, okay, my master's will be the last test I ever take. I'm gonna take this one. I'll be like, then I'll be done. Doors will open. Okay, my PhD, this will be my last one. I'll be done. The doors were gonna open. And even during then, it was our Craig Stone who was like, he signed me up to teach as an adjunct. And I was like, I told him like for a few years, I'm like, Craig, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Like, I just want to get my schooling done. Like, I don't even know if I can do that schooling. I just like, this shit's hard. I want to like, focus on this, you know? And then one year he just signed me up to do it. He's like, oh, by the way, like I was still doing my PhD. He's like, by the way, your first class is on Monday. I was like, what do you mean first class is on Monday? He's like, yeah, you're doing this thing on Monday. I was like, all right, well, whatever. Like, I like public speaking. I'm a good public speaker. How hard can this school thing be? Like, it's not that hard. They're like teaching, but I was like, oh, like to actually have a class that's worthwhile and important, like this is not easy. People would be like, oh yeah, it takes till like year three till you get comfortable with it. It's like year three, I can't even survive like class one. What are you talking about? I'm gonna get the whole semester here. Then I just really, like you're saying, just took it out of the craft and just loving it. And then same thing, I don't even know the difference between what an adjunct professor to an assistant professor was, or what tenured track was, or what it means and things until they think mentors and Craig was like, just apply. Like, okay, I don't even know what I'm applying for, but I guess I'm gonna do this. Like, so that was like once I'm actually like in the door of my career, I'm like, oh, like this is what I'm doing. But again, it was kind of an accidental thing. It was just like learning for the sake of learning and for because I was passionate about it and I wanted to learn about these things. And yeah, the idea was, yeah, someday hopefully it'll pass on knowledge. But it was an accidental profession and now it's a dream come true. And now I'm just, yeah, whether it's an education or I'd still love to make a difference in policy. Like I see like legislation as a great tool. Like if you want to change, like Mandela says, you want to change the world, change education. And the idea of like, if you can like, for some things we talk about, like, yeah, like I have exposure in some of the students I talk to, but if you can do this like in a, looking at contributions or looking at history as it really is, or like just the truth behind boarding schools so we can heal from boarding schools. Like that's going to be needed to be done at a legislative level. So like what are our curriculums at the state level and our federal level? Like I'm really passionate about that as well too. And like how can we do that well? And how can we do that for the benefit of all people? And I just love that mindset too of like, hey, you love it here. You want the best for everyone here. Like let's figure it out. Let's figure it out together. So don't know if
Tell me
that's the
about.
answer you're looking for, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. Tell me though about the first class that you had due. That sounds like a funny story. Like if he's
Dude,
saying, hey, you're on Monday, right?
it was the most brutal learning curve ever. Last minute, Craig was like, oh, by the way, there may be a teacher there already who thinks they're teaching the class, but they're not teaching the class. You might have to go like deal with that as well too. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And that happened. So that was like, it was just very awkward. And yeah, it was, and like you realize that the first day is like really crucial for like the respect you garner for like setting the tone for the rest of the class. Like first class is key. And it's
Definitely.
like,
Yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah,
I
you
never
know
thought,
everything off of that
yeah.
first, yeah.
I never thought about it either until I was on that side of it. You're like, oh shoot. I just felt like I like lost so much credibility and I was like working uphill. I finally get my rhythm into it. Like, okay, we're halfway through the semester. It's spring of 2020. I'm like, dude, I got this thing. March 13 rolls around. We go to quarantine. I'm like, it'll be 2 weeks of lockdown. We'll figure this thing out. 2 weeks of
Yeah.
lockdown. So I have to learn how to teach online. And like, it was tough, but I was feeling for all, like a lot of older professors who were like, didn't really understand like Zoom or they were like calling each student like, you know, like on their home phone, like to check in with each of their students and stuff. Like, but it was tough. But yeah, it's been a learning it's been learning ever since. And I still learn. I still make mistakes. I still learn. I'm not perfect, and but I want to do better every day. And I want to try to refine my craft every day.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But I remember knowing everything about the class, like, oh, this guy's a hard ass, like, or oh, this guy's super cool. Like, all right, cool. This is gonna be one that I show up to again. It's yeah, it's are we gonna go back to that second class? That's what it is, right? Is am I gonna go back or do I just phone it in? And when people show you the real version of themselves, like, you know, goes back to just choosing to be there. And I think something else that I wanted to kind of bring up too, that's just been on my mind of the day. Hold on, I took a screenshot of this really cool quote that I saw. Just because obviously I'm in, you know, the world of business, and I don't look at business as business. I look at it as like how you know, run your world and master your craft, right? Is, hey, if you're doing everything yourself, you don't own a business, you own a treadmill. Right. So that's obviously a very technical thing of You to in order to scale something great, an idea, a brand, or whatever it is that you're going to do, you need key players in order to do that. You can't do it alone. But so much of the mainstream thought is, oh no, if I give something away, it's so transactional, right? If I give too much away, what am I going to have for me? Someone's going to take all my cookies out the jar and this and that. And it's like, hey, we can make more cookies, right? So it's the funniest thing ever was the Wi-Fi went out here. That's why I almost had to go to the coffee shop when we were going to record this. A couple minutes before, I was like, I hope it's on when I get home because this better get fixed. And obviously, it was fixed and we're fine. But the cameras, the security system is connected to the Wi-Fi. By the way, if you're thinking about robbing a place, you should probably get a job at like Cox or a Wi-Fi provider. If you shut down somebody's Wi-Fi, their whole operating system is just done. Like this house literally just felt like a big teepee with a pool in the back. Like if you really think about it, when the Wi-Fi goes out, we're all so dependent on it. 10 years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal, right? But literally, my phone goes to crap when there's no Wi-Fi, right? Like you just can't do anything. I couldn't even watch TV. I don't even have basic cable here. So it's like I literally was just looking at a wall. It's just me and Kino looking at each other, like, the fuck are we gonna do? We might as well go to bed at this point because like we're not doing anything, right? I think we went on a walk last night and then just went to bed and was like, yeah, I'll call tomorrow and make sure it gets fixed. But what was I talking about before that rant? I did have a point. I just forgot what it was.
We could work together. We could put our minds together. Your team, your key players for what you want to accomplish, and
Yeah, something like that. I lost the thought. I was too deep into the Wi-Fi, right? But
Wi-Fi is a thing, man. We had the power go out through. I think last time we talked, the winds were coming through, and right after we talked, like we lost power for a few days, and like yeah, it was nuts, right? Like all the stuff in your refrigerator, and just like the just living by candlelight and things. You're like, oh yeah, I guess we really need. I guess we're pretty. We're,
Oh,
we use a lot of this
here
technology.
it came back to me. I love when it comes back to me. So the security system went out, right? So my dad is just seeing like the cameras aren't working. He's like, "Hey, what's going on with the camera? Did you unplug them?" And I'm like, "Why would you think that I would unplug the security system? I'm such a security guy. Why would I devalue anything that is in protection realm, right?" And I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? The TV wasn't working. This was off. Hey, the Wi-Fi's out. I gotta take a look at that. We'll investigate. But he was like, probably getting robbed, right? And I've recently had to, it's kind of funny that I'm saying this publicly, but I guess we are. I don't really lock my door as much. Like my car, right? I'm always on the move so much, right? Just I'll be here somewhere for an hour and then I'm across town and then I'm across town. I'm just trying to keep things so active. I don't lock my car door just because like I'm tired of unlocking it and opening the trunk and doing all that. You know what I mean? I usually have a bag with me or equipment. And the same thing goes where it's just funny that me, my large father, and myself, who is so large as well, have this thing of like somebody's gonna come in here. Kino's here 24/7, by the way, too, and steal whatever it is that we, you know what I mean? Is someone gonna come in here and take these jerseys? I highly doubt that. You know what I mean? Like the possibility is so small. It's got to be less than a quarter of a percent, right? Like it has to be the tiny. What do you think, TJ, though? Like the odds of if you were to rob a house, are you really going to pick the house with a crazy dog that's barking already, that's already seen you? You know what I mean? Guy, there's a good amount of, we're well armed around here. You know what I mean? We're not grabbing baseball bats, is what I'm saying. And like, hey, guess what? If all else goes to fail, you're going to go hand to hand, toe to toe with me. Standing here at the bottom of the stairs, naked or in my boxers in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? Like, it's what I would recommend is just pick a different house. You know what I mean? Or like go do something else. And so I kind of had to unlearn that over the past couple months to where I'm like, hey, there's nothing in my vehicle that's really of value. So let's be honest. If I'm at the coffee shop, I'm at Starbucks or whatever, I can see my car, right? There's that version of it. I'll leave it unlocked. If you want to go in there and really take the risk, I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, retaliate aggressively or whatever is going on, but that's the risk you have to take. Like, you just really kind of pissed off a very large man. And like, if that's what you want to do, that's what I'm going to do. But my mindset has been like, hey, if they steal it, honestly, I'll probably give it to you. Whatever it is that you're already trying to do, here, man, just ask for something. I'll do my best to help you out. And on the second back end of that is I believe that I can provide more value than whatever it is that you're going to take. That's my mindset
Mm.
behind it, which I think is a kind of a generational thing that I've really had to work through, which, because I see my grandpa all the time, he's like, can't get rid of that 1985 microwave. Like, Jesus, who knows what would happen with all the microwaves if we, I'm like, this thing is like gamma radiation is oozing off of it right now. It's actually like cancerous right now. No, it's good. Good microwave. It worked in the 80s. Yeah, that was 50 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about here? So it's just funny to kind of undo that and kind of rework it to where I go, I'm a talented guy. If somebody's going to steal, I don't know, a couple books or something out of my back seat or whatever it is, a camera or whatever it is, A, I think I have enough money to go get another camera. And B, I think that I can, like, it's not that big of a deal. It's a very small percentage of that happening. So why am I spending such a large part of my day being like, was the door locked? Was the this? What's the that? You know what I mean? And just recently, what's your take on that? Because I've really relaxed almost to a level of like being like if you saw how kind of bad it was, you'd be like, this is a little irresponsible the way that you're doing it. Like it's a very loosey-goosey way of doing it, right? But I think I've earned it in a way. You know what I mean?
I think there's so much to be said for that peace of mind versus like things that are like either replaceable or things we'd be willing to give to people that like we spend so much time like myself included for anxiety like oh did I lock this? Is this thing locked? Like did I do this? And it's like yeah like it's great that things a lot of, so many things are replaceable as well too. And definitely I think stealing from your home would be a horrible idea. I think that the large dog and large peoples I think is not wise. I think just stealing and yeah it's tough. I know having like the wife and the dog is like I'm always like super safe. Like, oh, we can just like just try to like give someone a job or like reason with them. I don't know. And my wife is definitely team protection and wanting to protect us and things. And I get that and like wanting to have her feel safe and be safe. And maybe the other day, like our neighbors were like just robbed in the middle of the day, and it was like a thing. And it was like so like very very much a topical thing. We're like, yeah, but, like yeah, what does that look like? And what do we do with that? What are things? And how do we how what is the peace we have in our minds? Or how do we let that affect our mental health and well-being?
Of course, and with your situation where there are like dependents, technically, I totally get that. You understand, in this household, there's no dependents. Everything in here that you're gonna run into is gonna fuck you up. Like that's pretty much like there. We're on some. If you're downstairs, I might throw a grenade down there. You know what I mean? Like that's the risk that you're taking if you're coming in here. And it's just funny because even the car, if I really think about it. If I'm going to a coffee, like when we get off this call, I'll probably go hit a coffee shop, get some late night studying. Kino's gonna come with me. If he doesn't come in the shop with me, he's gonna be in the back seat of the vehicle. So if you're gonna open that door, I don't think you understand. You kind of just opened the gates of hell a little bit. Like, not metaphorically, you just started something that, like, you're not gonna finish. Like, it's already, you just made a really big mistake. I'm almost, if I were there, I would say, please don't open that door. Like, not because I don't want it. Just there's a really big, you're letting a genie out the bottle that you don't understand what's coming out of there, right? So I think actually I put in the work. I have this little monster that is in partnership, right? That I don't control. I just try to manage and guide as best as I can, right? People think I have control over him. I don't have control over this dog. He's his own thing, right?
I love that. I love that. I love built-in security, that built-in best friend and loyalty, and just yeah, that open it up Pandora's box. You can't put it back in once you open it. And that's yeah, that's fair. That's more than fair.
And we can kind of close on though is as you continue to level up and you can actually kind of see things, you don't have to have that old operating system of first year Professor TJ of like, hold on, I that first day is so important, this and that. Once you put in the years, right, you can go, oh, hey, yeah, this was a little bit of an off of a first day, but I have so much experience. Second day, we're gonna throw a Kahoot up there, all right? And they're gonna love it. Like, you know what I mean? I love Kahoots. I wish I could do them in my office as much as I could, right? But if I was a professor, it would be Kahoots every single day, TJ. Like, it
I
would
am
be.
now adding in more Kahoots going next week. Kahoots are added in because of Venture. I will give you the shout out too.
Oh, please. Yes, Kahoots are the best thing ever. And you got to have a good prize. There's got to be a reason
Yes.
to get in there. Like, it can't just be the little tiny candy bars. It's got to be like, hey, I got some smoothies. You know what I mean? Bring in like some Jamba, gift cards or
Ooh,
something
I like that.
and really be like, hey, you guys want some smoothies? Here you go, right? And there's prizes for first, second, and third, all right? You know what I mean? Like,
I love that.
you got to win the crowd. You know what I mean? You win the crowd, you win your freedom, right?
Dude, that's a lot of wisdom and truth in that. I'm storing these ideas and taking these. I'm very grateful for your coaching of me, Venture. This is helpful.
Hey, cool. Well, let's go ahead and obviously close on our last, final questions here with this new little experience that we're putting together underneath the, Natural Thoughts and Talks umbrella. I really do appreciate you kind of kicking off smoke signals with us. It's been something that, just came to my mind, and I've been saying I'm going to do it for a while now. So it's really time to actually. If I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like it when my grandfather passed away a few months ago, and I made the mistake of waiting too long, and I have a little bit of regret with that. And I might, talk through that and figure out what I think about that. But I remember he was in San Diego, and I knew he was sick, and I should have went down there and intentionally documented a little bit of more of his story coming from his own words. But it was something, oh yeah, I'm busy with my career, or I got this thing going on, or I'm traveling here. And then he ended up passing away, right? And obviously I don't walk around like with regret, because I know he wouldn't want anyone to ever do that. He instilled morals in us that we know what the plan is. We know how to continue moving forward. He did such a good job that we can operate without him, right? And that is the course of life, right? Not like that's life, like don't fuck, just forget about it, but that's the process of let's continue to move the needle forward a little bit, right? But if I had another chance to do it, I think I would have been a little more proactive in going out there and taking the time to do it, right? The right way. So, I want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So I'm going to try to find as many elders as well as people, like us, because it is so important. As I even think about the powwow that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks, 52nd or 53rd, do you know
Think
what year?
52nd, if I'm not mistaken. I think 52nd, but I could be wrong.
5-2, that's been going on a long time during the first one, right, man? So as we start of kind of see people starting to get a little bit older, like Craig, for example, right, who's been such a pillar and a force and taking care of this thing for 30, 40 years, okay, I need to be a little bit more, I need to have my eyes open a little bit more as far as like, okay, when this time does come, which it's going to come, how do we continue this experience and this process so that we can pick up the slack when it's time and also get this process honed in so that these older guys can sort of enjoy what it is that they've worked so hard in building for such a long time. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of where I see this going, is connecting a little bit with the old school with the new school.
I think that's everything. And I think that, yeah, preserving those libraries before they burn down, right? Before we lose these elders, before we lose these stories, with our technology and the things, those positives, right? That we can use the things like a podcast or things to be able to capture these for the foreseeable future, for as long as that we're able to have these stories. And I think that's wise and profound. I think a lot of wisdom hearing you talk about hearing you talk right now, Venture, and I fully for it. And I love that.
And like I said, the point of where I'm seeing this show is not to exclude anybody, right? It's not to necessarily only keep it native voices or only do this or those are the rules and they're written right here and this and that. It's not necessarily what I'm doing. But right now, the primary focus is on having those similar backgrounds and, those like minds have and just share a little bit about their stories and experiences in an authentic motive and medium. Give me two or three people that you want to see me reach out to and see if we can create something really cool with this show.
Yeah, ones that come to mind currently right now, Gilbert Lopez, and married to Pat Lopez, part of our community here, is sometimes a drummer and singer in the community for around like the Southern California area. And he was a Los Angeles Superior Court judge as well too. So like super humble, a lot of wisdom. So I'm thinking about him right now. I'm thinking about also the Honorable Judge Deborah Sanchez, who is Tohono O'odham and Shumash as well, like one of my former professors, also a Superior Court judge. And phenomenal human being, someone who's like deep into their culture and language, and revitalization of like the face tattoos for the Chumash peoples as well too. And so those are a couple names. And I'd say, let's see, a third that comes to mind. Gosh, I want to say my grandma if I get her on here. But I was gonna change.
How old is your grandma?
She, oh gosh, right now she's 30 in 1938. I want to say she's born in, which is 62 plus 87 years old right now, 87 years young.
Okay. We're gonna get her on next week. Like
Oh
we're gonna
yeah.
fast fast track it. If you can make it happen, we'll make it happen just because 87 is it's old as fuck, TJ. So like we need to let's take that time. Obviously reach out to her and here's my commitment is I will make sure that this it's a lot running a show, man. You know what I mean? Like it is not easy. I need to start giving myself more credit as far as editing, hosting, actually scheduling, timing, stuff like that. It's a buttload of work, but I love to do it, right? So what you can do to really help me offset some of that is if you can connect me with those people, whether it's a group chat, whether it's a whatever, even if you can just send me their direct numbers and I can take 5 minutes and bang it out. Hey, let's get this thing on. What's going on? I'll make it happen, right? So let's make your grandmother a priority. A number one, hit her up within the next 48 hours and see if she'd be interested. And whenever she has time, obviously, we'll make it happen. Does that sound like something that works?
That sounds incredible adventure. Yeah. Eleanor Bailey, her married name or her maiden name is Cornelius. And yeah, that'd be phenomenal adventure. I'll do the best I can to connect you with Gilbert and Deborah and Eleanor, my grandma, and we'll go forward.
Hell yeah, man. All right. Well, guys, this has been another episode. Well, the first episode of, you see, I'm in my little mode here of smoke signals, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. All right. Bye.
Thanks, people.